Fort Lauderdale and Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Welcome to the Jersey Boys Sports Talk, hosted by Byron Jones and Victor Orocho, brought to you by The Sportscast. Today is November 10th, 2022. If you haven't yet, please subscribe to The Sportscast and all our channels, YouTube, Twitter, Spotify, and iTunes. And if you are on iTunes, subscribe to the Jersey Boys Sports Talk, has the little logo behind us. See me and Byron. Please leave a rating and review, and it'll help us out tremendously. Please subscribe to the YouTube channel. Don't forget to hit the notification. We're live every Thursday at 8 p.m. on YouTube and Facebook, but we're on your smart speakers. We are on Stitcher, we're on Spotify, so you can listen to our show anytime you would like. We'd really appreciate it. And we're getting ready to go since I missed a couple of weeks with some business activities. How you doing there, Byron?
Oh, I'm doing wonderful. How are you today?
I'm a lot better. I'm glad I'm here. Just on my research, watching some of the things going on. So we got a lot to talk about. Catch it up. How was last week?
Last week was outstanding.
Was it really?
Yes.
I'm glad. All righty, so let's get right into today. How's the weather over there, Philly? Getting a little chilly?
Wow, it's hot.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, 75.
We just had a hurricane pass by us. You know that, right?
Did it like pass by?
Like it went through us, yeah. Ian, I didn't realize it until later, but yeah, I took a few days off because of all the craziness, and I took them off when it was like terrible weather. Go figure. All righty, but it's beautiful now. Just really the beaches, some other areas got hurt pretty bad, so hopefully everybody's okay. All righty, so let's get going. You had some good notes that you brought up regarding the Giants, so we're going to start off from there, and I have a few items that I added as well. And actually, I'm getting a little chilly.
Oh, stop, man.
Because it's the air conditioning in my
place. Man, you're so like, soft since you got to Florida, man. Oh, my God, well,
let's talk about the Giants' loss. I mean, you know, hey, I'm okay with one. You know, they should win the next three. So talk to me. What did you think happened there?
With the last game?
Yeah.
The last game, what happened was they ran into the 12th man as a real deal up there in Seattle. They had a lot of issues, you know, calling the plays, you know, at the line, a lot, you know, delay a game and, you know, illegal procedure. You know, you had two, you know, linemen that haven't been, you know, the regulars, you know, since the other two got hurt and, you know, probably having problems, you know, getting the calls in. You know, Seattle's a lot better, you know, than we thought they were. You know, as far as, you know, Geno Smith, you know, I think he's 12th year, whatever he's in now. And, you know, they do have good receivers, Metcalf and Lockett and Disley is a good, you know, they have a good running game. So, you know, you can't take anything, you know, away from them. But, you know, it is what it is. You know, it's next man up with the Giants because it seems like, you know, constantly people are getting hurt. But, you know, it is what it is in the NFL.
Hey, 6-2, I'll take. You know, we would have been nice to go, run the tables. But at the end of the day, it is the NFL, right? So, you know, no easy game in the NFL, right?
I just got to remind you that I did say they were going to be 6-2 at the break.
Okay. Anyways, you also said that they're going to run the tables of the schedule. Yeah, Seattle's playing pretty well. I mean, if you think about it, I think they didn't get rid of, but a rather really good quarterback left, and they're playing better now than they were while he was there.
Yep.
Okay, so what are your thoughts on that? I mean, I know we'll go back to the Giants, but. Just curious about, you know, I like, you know, you played for Pete Carroll. You said he's a good guy. I read his book. He's got a good stuff. He did a great job at USC. And, you know, he's finding ways to win.
Well, they did, during the course of me watching, you know, stuff on TV, they did bring up something that was interesting that Geno Smith has like a wristband with the plays on, you know, his wrist. But if I never noticed that the other guy never had that, and they somehow they tweaked, Pete Carroll, as far as one did and one didn't, that maybe that was like the issue that they had, that Russell Wilson never wore the little thing on his arm, but this guy does, and Pete Carroll threw a little zinger out there. But Geno Smith has been pretty much a game manager, but he's making the big throws when it's time, and his guys are catching the ball like the other team guys don't do, and their offensive line is just as bad, even worse, because they got three rookies starting, a free agent, so they're like a mismatch, a group too, but they're still able to run the ball and protect enough for Geno to do his thing.
Well, we were in the game, right? We had an opportunity to win. That's the bottom line, right? As long as they keep I like playing good football. I don't want to have them lose, but at the end of the day, they have the next three games they got to play, right? We got to win these games to keep everything, to keep us on course to where we have the possibilities of constantly getting better, building momentum with the team and getting more faith in overall and everything that we do. And, Bridgewater, no? No, Geno Smith. Geno Smith, man, at the end of the day, I kind of like some of those stories that, a guy, you forget a guy's name. Like, yeah, I forgot about Geno Smith, yeah. Right? And 12 years, a couple years starting, and then from that part on, I guess a journeyman. Has he been on several teams?
Well, you figure the Jets and the Giants.
He's played pretty well, and he's got paid pretty well. And now he's got his opportunity to deliver. Maybe it just took him time to really sit back and, be ready when the opportunity strikes. And I think when they made that move, they didn't really go looking for another quarterback. They, Pete Carroll had to feel comfortable in Geno Smith. But back to the Giants, I think they played well. I think our time of possession was a little low, if I recall. But they played well, we're still, we got to catch the ball, man.
It didn't help with the two fumbles on the punt returns from the same guy, Richie James. Two. Yeah, you got a whole, that's his third one this year. So it might be auditioning for another punt return because he can't keep going back there doing the same thing.
Not only that, and, Pete Carroll is known to capitalize on special teams. Right. Yep. So, the fact that you get two fumbles, you turn the ball over. And if it's on a punt, right, it's even worse because you got good field position.
Okay. You are a punt returner. Okay. Mm-hmm. What is the most important thing back there when you go back there?
Catch the ball.
That's it.
No, well, not really. Number one is catch the ball. They kind of go together. So, but number one is catch the ball, right? Your job as your punt returner is returning punts. So therefore you should catch the ball. Number two is understanding where you're at in the field position, right? And now they're greater punters than they were in the past, right? Because before, you knew that if you put your heels on the 10-yard line, if it was going over your head, leave it alone because more likely it's going to go in the end zone. Today, they could drop that thing on the 1-yard line. So now it's even more important to catch the ball, right? Because you never know what could happen. Number two, if I had to go through the punt return pieces, is understand awareness of where you are in the field, the time, and make that determination to fair catch the ball based on those situations. Time, you need the ball, where they're punting it at. The last component, there's probably a few more, but to be quick, is if the ball is kicked short, right, as a punt returner, you need to yell from the heights of your lung to your team where the ball is. Because if it touches one of them, it immediately becomes a live ball.
True.
Right? So you got to – if it's a short, if it's a shank, everyone goes, oh, is that you – as a punt returner, you got to be conscious of ball, move. Sure. You got to be yelling, because the team is coming back. They're trying to build a wall. They're trying to do something. They're not really seeing the ball. especially if it's a shank, they don't know that, right? They cheer the kick and the punt. So those are the key, you know, my Victor's key elements of punt return.
Well, this guy got blown up. It's pretty much really, you know, kind of sort of nothing you could do about the way he got blown up, because that most of the two that he had was a result of him. He got popped.
Right. So he didn't fair catch the ball. Right. He didn't time it. Right. So where and so what was he thinking? Right. I mean, that's why, you know, someone asked me, why does people always mention you got to be a little bit of a screw loose or something to be a punt returner? Because you got 10 people coming at full speed to hit you. And they're trying to time it that if you don't fair catch it and they got to give you at least a yard, they want to have that yard. If you don't catch it, they want to light out. That's the best thing you could hit. The guy standing there, you're running full speed. Ain't nobody in front of them. They don't want to hurt them. They want to get a legitimate hit, but they want the hit, right? Well, I mean,
yeah,
the objective
is scored. Yeah, because the two he had, he pretty much took like two or three steps, and then that was it. And he got lit up pretty good, both times.
Okay, so he, and I apologize, I don't remember that. So he caught the ball and took two or three steps. So he didn't catch the ball and get hit. He got two or three steps. Is that correct?
The ball, yes. The next into the ball, flying all over the place.
Okay, so my thought process on that is that it's like, and I could be wrong, right? Obviously, I didn't play at that level, but I was a good punt returner. Is just like a receiver who is trying to run before he catches the ball, right? Right. Okay, when a punt returner catches the ball and then gets too excited about running, he's not focused on protecting the ball, right? So that's what happens, right? He is focused. I got the ball. I let me make something happen. And he's not holding that ball because you know you're going to get hit, right? I mean, you got to protect yourself. So at the end of the day, if you know that, your second instinct is to protect the ball when you're going to run. You can't run loosey goosey, especially if it's only two or three steps. So pretty much it was the excitement that he had two or three steps, right? That's why he got lit up.
Oh, he got lit up too. Ball, he went one way and the ball went the other.
That's an example of him not protecting the ball, right? It's like a running back running down the field and knowing he's got to protect the ball. Because, you know, he can't risk the chance of something happening, right? It's like a quarterback who it has to be smart in how to protect the ball. When you're a punt returner, you got to catch it and protect it. You cannot turn that ball over. He was better off fair catching it. So if he only got three steps, he should have just fair caught it. Because unless he was a Devin Hester someone with like crazy pickup speed. I mean, you know, two or three steps, and that's all you get. You should have learned that time. Just fair catch the ball. It's not worth the hit.
Well, he's probably not going to be the punt returner come next game because that's his third fumble this year.
As a punt returner, he's got to go. That's no way. You got to protect that, man. You know how your defensive play, how deflating is that?
Very. You probably would have smacked the guy in the mouth, but you can't.
You stop the defense to punt. You get the ball back, and now you just turn it back over, and I got to run, put my helmet back on and run back out there because you fumbled the ball for three. What did he get? How many yards did you get? Three?
If that. It wasn't many.
Yeah, I got to see it again, man. I apologize. I got to focus on that. I got to see it again. Wait a second. This was
Seattle.
Oh, they played. I thought they were off. They were off the week before, right?
Who?
Okay. Giants.
Giants are off this week.
They're off this week. Okay.
This past week.
And then something's wrong with something's wrong. There's no reason why you should be fumbling and only getting two or three steps. You're better off fair catching it. It's like, why would you take – in other words, if it was you, right, and twice you catch the ball, you only got three steps. Even if you didn't fumble and you got lit up, why would you do that?
Or how about we, you know, after the second one, put somebody else back there, which they, I don't think they had a chance to do it. Or when I get back to practice, make sure I find somebody, to, even if they don't get a yard, just to catch the ball, because that's becoming an issue now.
Well, you know, that's how I became a punt returner. When I was a freshman, you know, they let me do it a couple times. But as a freshman, I ain't going to talk about anybody in general, but, you know, we had a couple people that were – we lost a couple games. They would drop the ball or something would happen. It would just, so, and I was like, bro, look, you know, I don't know if I can run it, but I'm pretty good, but I can catch it, you know, for sure. I ain't going to have a problem catching the ball. It ended up becoming a great turnaround for me because I ended up doing rather well. But the most important was catching the ball. I was a defensive player. I was getting upset because people who were returning punts back then were offensive players. And they're dropping the ball, and I'm on defense. I'm like, man, no, you can't do that to my defense. But I can tell you what, the punt return wall was way better when we kept the defense on the field than when they started moving all the special team guys up.
Right.
But anyhow, that's the bottom line. He's got to go, change somebody else. I just wish they never did that to Steve Horton, right? When you try to put somebody in a return position that you shouldn't. Okay, so, and how'd your boy, hey, everybody else did pretty well. Wasn't so bad. Daniel Jones? No.
Daniel was fine. You know, put it this way, this is what happened, I think, personally. They found a formula to stop them. If you stop Daniel and you stop Saquon, you're going to win. Because I think Saquon only had like 50-some yards, like 53 or 55 yards rushing. There wasn't many at all. Now, all you have to do is, because they have no – you have no tight end to throw the ball to consistently. You have no receivers. What are you going to do? Yeah, you're going to hand the ball to, you know, Barkley 25 times, throw it to him another 10, have your quarterback running 10 or 15 times. That's too much. That's too much for those guys. They need help.
Yeah, well, it would help if we get some receiver catch the ball, though.
Yeah, it'll also help that supposedly we had a Kenny Golladay sighting today that supposedly he's supposed to be playing the next game. So you'll have Golladay, you'll have Wandell Robinson out there. Slayton is playing pretty good. He's playing very well now. So you got at least those three. If they can catch the ball consistently, that's all they got to do. And, you know, the tight end, you know, Tanner and Myrick are not too bad, but they got to catch the ball. That just help, just a little bit. That's all we need.
I'm trying to look at the stats for last game.
They weren't good at all. I don't think Daniel had over 200 yards passing. Saquon was like 55, or it wasn't much at all.
How many rushes?
A lot.
Here we go. In Seattle. Man, I hate losing with – I hate turning the ball over on specialty teams. I mean, that is like the ultimate X factor.
Yeah, but, you know, it's – and they said it all week prior to the game that, you know, playing in Seattle is a problem for everybody because they're coming across the country, 3,000 miles. They're playing in loud stadium, and it really does affect, you know, a lot of people, especially, you know, team that, you know, like I said before, that have, you know, two new starters, you know, for that game because Neal is hurt and Bredesen is both out. You know, so they're with, you know, a rookie left tackle and a guy they picked up off the scrap heap from Baltimore Ravens. But that's what, you know, is on the line now. So, you know, they're in the NFL, so you got to go with what you got.
Yeah, Barkley had 53 yards. Jones had 176.
Wasn't much.
No. And it was 27-13, two scores. But one of those scores came later, no?
Yeah.
Okay, let's see. He's got 700.
What?
He's got 779 yards right now.
Yeah, but still, he needs
4.8.
He needs help. Somebody. even, you know, even though Golladay, even if he, they're paying him $21 million or $17 million or whatever it is, and he just hasn't performed. And hopefully, he's not on the IR, Friday. Oh, well, he's questionable to play because of his knee. Come on, man. Really? Come on. Be a pro. Be a pro.
Yeah, well, I'm going to give you that number right now, or the other stats. We need some of our guys on here to get my fire juices blowing.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you know what?
Okay, here's injury. Kenny Golladay, knee, limited. Daniel Bellinger, eye, did not practice. Evan Neal, knee, did not practice. O'Shane Zimines, linebacker, quad, limited. So that's what we got going into. Well, we got a bye week, right?
But no, you're paying this way. They played Houston Sunday.
When's the bye?
They already had the bye. They're coming off the bye week. You forgot about the most important one.
Who?
McKinney's not playing. He's on IR.
No, they didn't show that.
He's on the non-football related injury list. He got hurt down in Mexico and Cabo broke his hand.
Now you mentioned in some of your show notes that there was no trade during the deadline and extension of Barkley, Jones, Love, and Lawrence. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Nah, they thought about it. They debunked that one, saying that there were no talks as far as extending either one of them, and they're going to wait till probably the end of the season
to determine for
or either one, because you figure, okay, if you franchise,
you have four people here.
Yeah, if the two main ones we're going to worry about first, you have Daniel Jones. You're either going to franchise him or you're going to sign him to a team-friendly contract. Or you have Barkley, you're either going to sign him to, not a long-term deal because he's a running back when you have an injury history. So you can franchise him, at the end of the year because it's cheaper to franchise a running back than a quarterback. I think a quarterback's franchise tag is like $31 million and the running back is like $12 million. I don't see giving Daniel Jones $31 million as a franchise quarter. I like a guy, but no, he needs more like a, what is that guy? They were talking like a Ryan Tannehill kind of thing where it's like $17 to $19 million a year. He's at seven now, $17 to $19 for like 2 or 3 years, not long-term, like 2 or 3 years, two, whatever guaranteed money for two, and then a third year option, for the team.
So that's just a contract, not a franchise tag.
No, that's just a regular contract. Because I'd rather do a contract with Daniel because I would give him $31 million. That's the number for quarterback.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't give him $31 million. Don't do that to me. All right, so that's gonna be interesting. I think Barkley's gonna earn it. I'm not worried about Barkley.
But the thing is, he's a running back.
Well, I think he's gonna earn. You're saying they don't want to franchise him, but he'll earn a contract. You think Barkley wants a franchise?
No, he probably wants a contract. He probably wants to be there a little bit longer, but you really look at all the running backs you've given a lot of money to. You had Zeke in Dallas. They gave him a ton of money. What happened to his production? It went down. Todd Gurley was the Rams, gave him a ton of money. What happened to him? Not even playing no more. This is what 3 years ago. So all these guys, they're running backs that, their shelf life is not a long time. And you don't want to give, these guys $50, $60 million. And next 2 years in, they fall apart. Because the only one that's really like the anomaly is Derrick Henry.
Adrian Peterson.
Adrian Peterson, Frank Gore played forever. Three.
There's a few.
But it's not a lot. And, you really don't want to put that, that kind of money, into the running back position because a lot of teams are, running back by committee, where you have a whole bunch of running backs and you're not paying them. Christian McCaffrey. Look at him. Look at how much money they gave him. And he sort of, petered out. He's playing well now, but he has an injury history too. So you really don't want to give him all that money. I'd franchise tag him, but most likely he'd probably, you franchise tag him, he'd probably be like, yeah, I'm not coming in, he'll come in eventually. But
McCaffrey had a he balled out in the first game with San Francisco. I mean, he balled out. I mean, that was a good. I think San Francisco was a good system for him.
Yeah, because they're not going to run him to death. You know, they're going to throw the ball to him, you know, the swing pass, you know, stuff like that. And, you know, Shanahan's known for, you know, exotic running plays and stuff. So, you know, he should do well. And then they have Debo back there, Samuel as well, you know, to help out with running. And they have another, I forgot the other running back's name. But, you know, they've got a bunch of backs, so they don't have to focus on just him.
Let me break the commercial real quick. Hold on 1 second. Why don't you do a rundown on what you see is happening. Hold on. Hey, Blake Martinez is retiring. Hold on a second. What do you think about that?
Bye. All right, we have Xavier McKinney is a key guy. Play safety is going to be out. On IR for the next 4 weeks or 5 weeks or whatever. And it's not good. It is not good that you have their defensive signal caller is going to be out. Now the green dot goes to Julian Love is going to be helping call the defenses from the back. So it should be very interesting. The Giants defense to last the next couple of games. You know Xavier McKinney's out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Their main safety.
Yep. And that's bad because our corners are kind of weak.
Yeah, but it's also bad that this dude, man, okay, I understand you want to go out and have fun or whatever. And it's your contract. So now he's going to be out and not get paid for however long he's going to be out because of a non-football related injury. I get it. You want to have fun. But really, you know, you're going to go to Mexico, you're going to be riding around a quad or whatever he's doing and break your hand.
So we're clear for our listeners. When you earn a contract and you get a non-related football injury, they don't pay you?
You get nothing.
So let's just just a football contract, right? It's not like a regular job, 9-to-5 job, right? Where they pay you every 2 weeks for the entire year, right? They pay you only during the season. Is that correct?
Game checks.
So do you get preseason checks or not?
You get like a little stipend money, whatever, like chump change then.
So you get paid for the 17 games?
Yes, you get 17 checks.
So you get 17 weeks of checks.
Yes.
And then you just get bonuses in the playoffs.
Well, you get bonuses during the season, you know, if you get like for sacks.
Of course, but I'm just saying checks are checks. But I'm just saying if you get to the playoffs, you don't keep getting a check, right? You get whatever. So just to make it simple, let's say you're making $17 million. You're getting paid $1 million a week for 17 weeks.
Yes.
Is that correct? Okay. Yep. So now a guy goes and gets an unrelated football injury, right? And he's out for 2 weeks. He misses 2 weeks of $1 million paycheck.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Wow.
That'll teach you not to get on that quad.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. That's amazing.
It's in the contract, you know, as far as doing crazy things. You know, just do, they're young. They got all this money. You know, you're going on a break. You know, they tell for, all right, you know, all right, go out, enjoy yourself. You know, be careful, blah, 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 whatever. Don't do anything stupid. I heard that all through college. You know, don't do anything stupid. In the military, don't do anything stupid, blah, 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 whatever. And, but you still got certain people that go, well, look, when what's his name blew his fingers off. Jason Pierre-Paul. Remember that?
What about Roethlisberger?
Yeah, with the motorcycle.
Right, with the motorcycle. He lost a lot of money.
Or even look at even basketball, Jason Williams from Jersey guy, from Chicago Bulls. Look what he did on a motorcycle.
Let me ask you a question. Do these guys have insurance for that?
They probably got their own personal insurance or whatever, but still.
Yeah, that's what I meant. I mean, you know, like Bosworth. He made money on insurance if something happened that he couldn't play.
Well, they got, you know, some of them do take that kind of insurance out for themselves, but that's not like, some of the teams do that too. like they, you know, they get a, like an insurance policy on this guy. So just in case XYZ happens, you know, they're still, you know, they're going to get some money out of it, but you know, it is what it is.
No, that's amazing. All right, let's keep going. Okay, so Ken, the next one is, we did the extension, no trades. We didn't do anything. Any big trades happen? Anything? Because I didn't hear anything that was going down.
Not that I remember offhand, though.
I don't remember seeing, hearing, or nothing.
There were some, but Ken, I just don't remember. I don't remember what they were right now.
Can the Eagles
Yes, we do. We got a trade. Kadarius Toney going to Kansas City, man.
Oh, yeah, but that was, yeah, that's true. And McCaffrey.
Huh?
McCaffrey was a big trade.
Yeah, but Tony, he did get one catch, the first catch of the game the other day, too, Tony. They threw it to him for, you know, like 6 yards or whatever.
Yeah, well, we can get into that. Remember, I had that. Remember, we had a conversation. I said it about Patrick Mahomes. Okay, you guys, I can't compare anyone else to Patrick Mahomes until they do what Patrick Mahomes does. That's what he did the other day. He played out.
Yes, he is the MVP front runner right now. Yes, he is the best quarterback.
I am just saying that guy can play. He runs only when he needs to. Right, and when he does, he does, and he's just, and he's like elusive when he runs. He doesn't run just straight with the speed. He is constantly looking at. It's almost like he's trying to shake and bake you almost all the time.
He's always looking downfield.
He's right, but once he crosses the line of scrimmage, he's still just like. He's thinking of what you're going to do to counter you. It's amazing. The guy is amazing. Okay. But I remember we had that conversation when we were comparing him, I guess, Josh Allen and all the other guys. I was just saying he's a different type of runner, right? He's not that one. Let me just take off. Daniel Jones is, let me just take off. Lamar Jackson, let me just take off.
The best runner is Lamar Jackson. Just pure running.
I wasn't comparing who the best runner is. I was saying that the quarterbacks that run, their instincts are always to just take off and go, right? And you know, obviously Lamar's the best runner. It's just take off and go. Patrick Mahomes seems to take off, but seems to be thinking. As he's running all the time, looking around the field, figuring out something, he runs the ball differently than other quarterbacks. Other quarterbacks are straight line. I'm happy the way Daniel Jones runs the ball. Don't get me wrong. He's getting those yards. He gets what he needs. Several quarterbacks do a good job of that. Josh Allen does a good job running the ball.
He's more like a big giant running back. He runs like a running back, Josh Allen. Runs.
Yeah. He's run you over. He's not looking for anything else. Okay. All righty. So we were talking about that now. Can the Eagles go undefeated?
Oh, man, they're talking about that right here. They're getting all kind of crazy and antsy. Right? Oh, my God. This is the big thing. One of them will sit there and talk about, you know, if they go into the last game, which is against the Giants, and if they're, you know, 16-0 going into the Giant game, should the starters play that game? That's what they've been asking around. You know, should they play or should they, you know, sit them down, you know, put, you know, Gardner, Minshew, and, you know, the second string guys, the second string line, and, you know, so nobody gets hurt, you know, because they're going to have a bye, you know, after, you know, the first playoff game. So should they rest their guys against the Giants or should they play, you know, so they can go 17-0 or should they play, you know, up until halftime and then, you know, bring these guys out so nobody gets hurt. That's the big thing that's going on around here.
Interesting. They were talking about Brady and his undefeated season. And I believe the comments that were made were he would love to have an undefeated season, but what he would have preferred was winning that Super Bowl.
What is your ultimate goal at the end of the season?
Win the Super Bowl.
There you go. Because somebody brought up this too. Another interesting fact is that when you get the Super Bowl, you know, when you win the Super Bowl, it doesn't have your record on there. It just has the score. of whatever, you know, what the game you play. There's no score on there. So, you know, it is what it is. But around here, that is the big thing around here that, you know, if they're going to go undefeated.
I personally don't believe any team's going to go undefeated ever again. There's too many games. There's just too many things going on, in my opinion, or at least in my lifetime. And two, I don't care about being undefeated. I care about home field advantage. If I had to pick my choices, it's home field advantage and winning the Super Bowl.
Yes.
That's it. Whatever the record is, home field advantage and winning the Super Bowl. If you can't get home field advantage, win the Super Bowl. Because remember, when we won, we went away everywhere.
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, win the Super Bowl. So everyone, I don't know why they talk so much about being undefeated. They're not going to go undefeated. NFC East is too hard to beat all three teams six times.
Well, they got a tough game coming up when they play in Washington. Washington's not that bad at all. You know, they got a good defense, and, you know, they got the quarterback, you know, Heineke's not bad. You know, they got a running game. The kid that got shot is back now, Brian Robinson, and their defense, you know, their front. I think Chase Young is supposed to be back either this game or the next game. So all them first-round picks are going to be back across the front. So Washington, it's possible.
I just think, yeah, they're not going to go on that. I think they play pretty good. The last game they played, they didn't really – they're not, like, crushing teams. It's not like, you know, they're overpowering teams. They're winning. They're doing a good job. I got to give them credit. I'm happy when the NFC East does well because it makes them all better. That's how I look at it.
Because they were talking about – the other thing they were talking about was their offensive line. Their offensive line, you know, going into the season was like the number one ranked offensive line, and they're not playing well at all. They're not. They're kind of, you know, running the mill and kind of average. They're not, you know, doing as well as they're supposed to be. But, you know, Jalen Hurts, like I keep saying, has, you know, gotten better every year, and, you know, he's, you know, as long as he can run the ball, and he's another one you got to watch when he runs the ball. He doesn't get blown up. You know, he'll head to the sideline or he'll slide. He knows how to slide and stuff like that. But he never puts himself in harm's way like some of the other quarterbacks though.
Well, that's what he should do. He's got to protect himself. He's the most valuable. But, you know, I would think – well, let me ask you. But I would think that if you're in the playoffs and you're undefeated, I just think it escalates the pressure.
Oh, yeah. A lot of pressure,
right? Because everyone's talking about it, and I don't want to hear that. I want to just play the game. You know what I mean? I don't want to worry about going undefeated, right? I want to win. You got to just win, period, right? I just think that adds a little bit more level of complexity, more conversation that you don't want to deal with. You know, I just think it's more problems than it needs to be, right? And let the Dolphins have their one super victory of being undefeated during a time that was totally different. All right, Washington for sale. I heard that I read something that Jay-Z and Elon Musk were looking to buy.
Byron Allen. Remember him, comedian?
From who?
Byron Allen, his name is still.
No, I don't know who's Byron Allen.
He used to be like a comedian, and now he's like one of the owns like one of the biggest media communications things in the country. African American guy. If you've seen his face, yeah. Well, he used to be. Put it this way: if you've seen his face, you'll know who he is because he used to have a show back in the day, the Byron Allen Show, like years ago. He sort of, you know, got away from that and went into, you know, media, you know, buying up all kind of communications thing. And so, you know, he could be in the mix too as far as buying them.
Oh, snap. I know who he is. I didn't know he was worth that much.
Yes, he is.
He's pretty good. I like this guy.
Yeah, he's – maybe he might put in a – but Elon Musk, nah.
His net worth is only $500 million. So he'd have to be maybe the lead investor, but he can't, you know, Jay-Z's worth more than that.
Yeah, but you figure all these guys get together like, you know, like Denver did and, you know, buy it as a group, you know, four or five of them.
Can we put in? Yeah, I read it was Elon Musk and Jay-Z. What a combination.
Yeah, they ain't going to buy that. It's going to be some dude that's got a billion dollars that you never heard of, you know, swoop in and buy the team. Because
Elon Musk has a billion dollars.
I wouldn't sell anything to that guy. He's got issues. No, no. He wouldn't be a good fit for the NFL.
Oh, it's Jeff Bezos is looking. Who's in the mix for the Washington football team? Yep, Jay-Z. There you go. Let's get to there. So you were right. Didn't you mention that they were talking to attorneys that they're on for sale? Let's look at the franchise, expected. Okay. Jeff Bezos is a buyer. Jay-Z.
Well, while you're sitting there looking at that, look up the lawsuit that just had filed against them from the D.C., the District of Columbia. Was it today or yesterday? They're in a little trouble too, Washington, D.C., Washington team, the NFL, Roger Goodell. Yeah, they got issues. I think it was either yesterday or today that it was a lawsuit that was, you know, something being announced against them from the Attorney General.
Yeah, so he even says that Jay-Z, even though he's worth $1.3 billion, he'd have to team up with somebody else, like Jeff Bezos.
But you figure if
Byron Allen would also have to do that, too.
If you got, like, the Denver Broncos, I think, sold for $6 billion. $6 billion. And, like, the Waltons are, you know, filthy, nasty rich, and they even combined up, you know, with two or three, you know, whatever the group is. And if they're worth $6 billion, the Denver Broncos, the Washington Commanders are worth way more than $6 billion because it's going to be a stadium, too, involved next. They're going to get a new stadium. So it's a lot of money for the Commanders.
But I think, didn't Jay-Z have to give up ownership to the Brooklyn Nets when he became a sports agent for, you know?
Yeah.
So if he still has a sports agency, he can't own a team.
No.
Right? So he's got to make a lot more money owning a team than.
What's more important? Do you want to represent these guys? Or do you want. Because he could always just pass it off to somebody else. It'll still be his company, but you could pass it off to somebody else, you know, ownership.
Well, it can't be his company. I don't think so. I think he has to be relinquished the company or one or the other. But I think buying
the lawsuit
that way more. What's that?
The lawsuit against the Commanders that was filed by the Attorney General.
And what's it about?
About financial stuff that they were doing.
You know, it just amazes me how, like, you got that much money and you still do, like, crazy things. Like, okay, so for example, you know that I've been in insurance, I do life insurance, I do bank-owned policies, right? Cash value policy, like E-Man and so forth. And those policies are generated to be able to protect valuable employees or for you to protect your assets and then utilize that money for the cash value within that policy, right? Yeah. Walmart got in trouble because they were literally taking out these policies on employees and their employees, what other employees doing?
Here, I found it. Hey, you ready?
Lawsuit, Washington.
They sued the Commanders and the owner, as well as the NFL and commissioner for allegedly deceiving DC residents about the team's alleged toxic culture for its own financial gains. Attorney General Carl Racine alleges the team and its owner lied on the district's residents about allegations of the team's toxic culture and sexual harassment in order to keep the truth from DC residents and protect profits.
Yeah, so I see a lot of everything I see is sexual harassment.
Yeah, yeah, they're financial gaining stuff. Yeah, they're in a little trouble. Messing with the money. Yeah,
and they were doing something with the money, no?
Yep.
But you know who's going to get in trouble with that? The lawsuit, too, the CFO. Now they're coming, they come after everybody.
Yeah, well, they're suing the Commanders, the owner, and the NFL, and Roger Goodell.
Who is?
The D.C. attorney for District of Columbia.
Okay. Okay. The D.C. attorney is suing, okay, the owner, right?
The owner?
The,
yes.
The NFL, which is
the NFL, which is a separate thing, and then Roger Goodell.
Okay. What is their case against the NFL, and what is the case against Roger Goodell? I think Roger Goodell should be the most insulated. Why would he get in trouble?
Because it's his team.
Roger Goodell?
They said that Daniel Snyder and the team alleged that they colluded to deceive D.C. residents about an NFL investigation into the team's toxic workplace culture and allegations of sexual assault.
So they're saying they colluded the NFL and Roger Goodell?
Yes.
For the investigation?
Yeah. They say the lawsuit cites the District of Columbia's Consumer Protection Procedures Act, which gives the Attorney General broad authority to hold individuals or a company accountable for misleading customers.
Right, but Roger Goodell's not part of that company.
He's part of the NFL, right?
Right, well, the NFL is not part of the NFL doesn't own the Washington Redskins. I mean, what Commanders?
The Washington Redskins are part of the NFL, right?
But it's not owned by them.
They're part of the NFL. Her team, part of the NFL. Not my lawsuit. It's theirs.
Yeah, I know. But when they sue, they want to sue everybody, right? So that way they can get everybody. Whatever they can. Yeah, they're not going to go. Oh, that's just interesting. I always like to see what the merit is on these pieces. Man, it could be a tough position to be a commissioner in the future. All righty. Let's keep going. All right. Now with the Commanders already, but they're starting to play a little better than the terrible team they were before, right?
They're not bad at all. They're not a bad team.
All right. We're missing John. So Denver is going to fire Hackett after this year?
I would. You got that $250 million quarterback back there. He's playing not so good. So
I'd fire Frank Wright from Indianapolis.
He already got fired yesterday. Jeff Saturday.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's what I wanted to bring up. He got fired. I thought that was a joke.
No.
So Jeff Saturday is going to be the head coach this weekend.
Yes.
Comes out of nowhere. It's not even in the coaching. That's not normal, is it? Has that ever happened? Isn't it usually someone stepped up as interim until someone else?
Hey, how about this? The Rooney Rule. They were throwing that around too, saying, okay, all right, you're hiding this guy off the street. What about he has on his staff right now is, Dan Quinn. Or Gus Bradley, like Gus Bradley and some other John Fox. They used to be the Carolina Panthers head coach, and was it the Giants too? Are the two coaches on that? Two head coaches on the staff right now. They just fired the offensive coordinator the other day, so they have these two guys right now that are on the coach that have the head coaching experience with the Carolina, with the Denver, Atlanta Falcons, wherever this guy was. And they pulled him out of the ESPN booth, with the pancake thing. He's like the pancake guy, on the show. And all of a sudden now he's got a head coaching job. And then he brought up the fact that, okay, well, what about the Rooney Rule? What about that? It doesn't apply.
Well, because it's an interim.
Yes.
He's not technically he's not the official head coach. He's an interim.
Yes. And then at the end of the season, if he does well, then they would have to go through the whole process. But then it looks crazy. We talked about this before. Okay, he does well. He has a winning record for the last half of the season. He gets interviewed for the job. So they pull in all these other African-American guys, for the interview, whatever. And then you turn around and get this guy the job anyway. Come on, I wouldn't even bother about going. If he has a winning record, I wouldn't even think about going for an interview. I wouldn't even do it.
I'm still amazed by that. Like how how does he get caught up so fast? Well, he's got two good coaches. So, I mean, you know, now it goes back to really trying to be the CEO. Right?
Yeah, but how,
Dan Quinn, how was Fox. But how do you just walk in, like, you know, the atmosphere of the locker room? I mean, like, I know he's he played for the Colts. You know?
Yeah, the Colts for 13 years.
Yeah. I like Saturday, just so you know. I mean, the stories he says about being a lineman and going to the bathroom and things that they did, I like him. One. Two, I'm also impressed when you see Jeff Saturday. I mean, he's a good-looking guy, well-built and this and that. Until you, and then when you see his pictures when he played, that dude was like 300-something.
Yeah, he was way bigger when he played, yeah.
Yeah, you know, but, and then okay. I'm like, that guy was a lot.
How would you feel? You're on that staff, got head coaching experience, and then they whoop skip you and bring some guy in off the street. How would you feel?
How would I feel? My initial reaction would be, what the heck? You know, why wouldn't I gotten a shot? Right? You already know I was head coach. I'd be part of this team. The other side of me looks as, you know, we need to do something to win, and maybe I got a shot. I'm still in shock. I don't know how you walk into the locker room. I don't know how the players are going to react to that. You know, he may have been around because he's an alum, and, you know, he played with Payton. He's got all the pieces he has.
Oh, and you know, the other guy that's on his staff? Think about Reggie Wayne.
Has this ever happened before coach that was not part of the unit already?
Not that I know. Did you know what? Reggie Wayne is on that staff too. Remember him? Wide receiver.
He played with Jeff Saturday.
Yeah. He's on a staff too right now. Like right now. So why didn't he get you? Are you want to hire a Colts alum? Give the job to Reggie Wayne. He's there already. He's already, you know, developed a relationship with the guy. Can you figure you've been practicing since July? These guys have been putting the work since July or around June or whenever. And now all of a sudden you got a guy that's been watching on TV or ESPN coming out the booth and, the buy to take over the team. You know, and then they get the offensive coordinator, some dude that he was coaching high school 5 years ago or whatever. He's never called offensive plays ever.
Who selected him? Who brought him?
He's the assistant quarterback coach. He's not even like the quarterback coach or, the offensive, because they just fired the offensive coordinator. They just fired a guy like last week.
Do you agree that the conversations with Jeff Saturday had to be taking place while the team wasn't doing well? You can't just like, I'm going to fire this guy and let me pick up the phone and call Jeff Saturday.
Yeah.
I mean, it's impossible. Jeff Saturday, yeah. There's no way he would have made a split decision just to say, sure, I'll just take the job as a head coach.
It had to be something going on behind the scenes. There's no way that all. But hey, my sister, hey, get Jeff Saturday on the phone. Come on. No.
And his first game is this weekend, right?
Yes.
Let me ask you a question. If he doesn't do well, hold on to him until the end of the season.
You have to. You have to. Right. Dude, they're not playing well at all. You know, the strength of their team should have been the offensive line. They haven't been playing well. They benched Matt Ryan.
Why do you hold on to Jeff Saturday if they're not playing well?
Why would you? Go get a real coach.
I'm saying during the season, not after the season. Let's say the rest of the season, he starts still stinking.
Right.
Do they make a move again?
Yeah, he's done.
So they'll make a second move.
Yeah, they get a new coach for next year.
Dude, I thought that was a joke. Okay. I would fire him. I would fire, I still want the San Diego coach fired.
No, I think the Denver Broncos coach is going to be the first one because that's a new ownership. So the new ownership.
I'm okay with him being fired. I think that that guy.
They're not playing that bad now. Saying
I still would have got my quarterback.
Don't forget, Peyton is still sitting out there.
Yep. All right. So now you brought up. I brought up a couple other pieces. Let's talk about the Jets for Richie Vargas and crew. Let me tell you something. They pulled it out.
The Jets have a top five defense. That kid, Quentin Williams, the University of Alabama kid, is playing lights out. And then the corner, they have probably, I'm sure you'll love this, probably the best rookie cornerback in the league, Sauce Gardner, is playing well. He's like number one in like all kind of statistics, you know, yards, you know, not giving up
That's
most yards.
That's the second time the Jets had number one, right? Wasn't Darrell Revis there with the Jets already?
But this kid is tall. I didn't realize how tall he is. He's like 6'2", 6'3". He's not a little corner. He's got some size to him.
But he's like a Surtain?
No, he's bigger than Surtain.
Surtain's like 6'4", dude.
I ain't that tall.
You sure? Okay, good. But what about the Jets, man? Like, I'm happy.
The Jets got, you know, they beat up Buffalo. Yeah, they beat up on, you know, Josh Allen couldn't run around, you know, the way he normally does. The Jets, you know, Zach Wilson is not my rookie of the year pick as playing, you know, not to lose the game. You know, they went and got a running back when Bryce Hall got hurt. So they picked up the guy from, I think it was Jacksonville. So, they're going to run the ball, and they're going to play good defense, and they're going to come at you a ways with the defensive line. So they're playing very, very, very well. I would pick the Jets to make the playoffs before I would pick the Giants.
Surtain's only 6'2".
Yeah, and the other guy's tall.
Yeah. You pick the Jets
to make the playoffs.
To make the playoffs over the Giants.
Yes.
And not me.
Why not?
Because I think that you got Miami's playing well, and you got Buffalo playing well, and New England's defense is starting to pick up steam.
What? New England's the last place in that division.
I understand that, but did you see their defensive play last week?
The Jets have the best defense they're number two behind Buffalo as far as defensively. The
Giants are up there in defense.
No, it ain't that high.
Well, all right. Yeah. Well, I mean, look, if it happens for our guys, I'm happy for them. I just think it's going to be tough. I mean, who are they? You're not going to have three teams from the AFC. So who do you think is going to make the playoffs?
It's possible. It could happen.
Really? Yeah. Well, I'm happy. I'm happy they won. I like the coach too. He's done a good job. Because I think that if he wasn't going to win, he's going to be gone.
Yeah, he'd have been hitting the bricks though for another one.
Okay. And then as we're wrapping this up, we're almost done. I just want to get one more piece out there. One, Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, he's dumb. Stick a fork in.
He's getting everything he deserves.
Yeah, he was getting $50 million, so, you know, you really can't say.
Money-wise, I mean, I didn't mean that, but I'm just saying that, you know, they look bad. I've never seen, you know how we make the argument that Brady should retire and all this? It's almost like, you know, Aaron Rodgers is looking, he looks worse than Brady. And Brady played well last game.
Nah, he sucked last week. He got lucky. Aaron Rodgers is getting beat upside the head because look at all the great receivers. James Jones, Jordy Nelson, Greg Jennings, Devontae Adams. He's had all these great, and I'm going to just end it with this. He's had all these great receivers through the year, all of them. How many Super Bowls has he had?
One. How many times has he been there? Twice or once? Twice?
Maybe twice and once. I don't know. All I know is he's getting everything, like you said, he's getting everything that he deserved. You know, he's more interested in statistics. You know, he's got 400, you know, touchdowns. He's thrown under 100, you know, interceptions in his career. You know, he's got all these great numbers. But when it all comes push to shove, you got to get that ring on that finger. He's got one. Mm-hmm. And he's been there, what, 17 years? Right. 15.
Yeah, he's got two because he got one with Farr, right? But he didn't
go back that far. Was he there then? I don't think he was there then.
Yeah, he waited 4 years before he played behind Farr.
I don't know, man. You got to look that one up.
He didn't play quarterback until 4 years after he got drafted.
I think they'd already won one. I don't think he won two. I'm going to look. He's 38 years. Let's see. He's got one championship. Super Bowl, whatever, number 35, or whatever this is.
So when did they win the Super Bowl with Brett Favre?
That was beforehand in the 90s. Because he's been there since 2002. Well, not 2002. 2004, something like that.
All right.
He's got all kind of records, but he ain't been in, no.
And he's got a lot of MVPs.
A lot of MVPs, but he still only has one Super Bowl. One.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of quarterbacks that only have one. Drew Brees only has one.
Who?
Drew Brees.
Yeah, but he's not a crybaby like the other guy. And he won his in the 95 or something like that.
And he won his. He won his after being traded.
But, oh well. Aaron Rodgers getting everything he deserved.
You said Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, in 2011 he won the Super Bowl. And so then he was there afterwards, right? Right. And then how many did he have? So which one did Brett Favre win? 97?
95 or six. Yeah, it was way in the 90s.
97 or 98? It had to be one of those two.
I was 97 or 98 because I think Denver won around then, but it might have been before that.
Yeah, it has Denver in 98 and then 97, they played against New England and they only have 1967. That can't be. Green Bay Packers Super Bowls with Brett Favre. I don't see that. Super Bowl 31.
32. Well, lost 32 and they won 31.
Oh, so that was in there then.
So what?
So Aaron Rodgers wasn't there then.
No, he wasn't there then. He didn't come to like 2002 or something.
Oh, okay, yeah. All right. I thought he was there when he was there. All righty. Well, you know, we got a lot of interesting. Josh Allen's hurt also.
2010.
Josh Allen is hurt. We got who do we got coming up this week?
Houston, Texas, my guy, Lovey Smith.
All right. We got to win that game, dude. That's the bottom line. We got to go 7-2. I need somebody else to lose because we're going to be going into the NFC East playing against each other. They'd rather be at a good record and win it out there. All right. Well, let's see what happens, man. And the Cowboys, Ezekiel is hurt. Wasn't one of your questions, too, is Zeke done?
That was last week.
Dallas. Is Zeke done? Big D. Interesting.
Tony Pollard's the guy.
I like him, Pollard. Kind I would like small. To get another. I wish we had another running back.
We do. Matt Breida's pretty good.
I need something, bro. I need something. I can't believe Odell is still not signed.
He's going to Dallas, man. He's from Texas.
But I don't understand what happens when why is a player at that level not signed, Byron? What happens? Like is it his agent? Is it him?
It's him. He's still hurt. He hasn't been cleared to come back.
Oh, okay.
You remember he got hurt in February. Torn ACL. February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October.
He's not making any money in the NFL. He's making whatever else he's making. But he's not making the NFL.
Oh,
that's crazy. I still think,
Yeah, but why would you sign? He's still hurt. And I think they said that he wanted a 2-year contract. He don't want like a 1-1. Finish out the rest of this year because, he just wants more money. So we'll see who's going to give him a 2-year contract. That's a bit much.
We'll see what happens. All righty. Let's end it with the GarySinise Foundation.org. Please, for our nation's defenders and our first responders, freedom and security are precious gifts that we as Americans should never take for granted. We must do all we can to extend our hand in times of need to those who willingly sacrifice each day to provide that freedom and security. While we can never do enough to show our gratitude to our nation's defenders, we can always do a little more. Gary Sinise. That's the GarySiniseFoundation.org. Please help out as much as you can. It really helps with our first responders, the people that are on the front line, our nation's defenders. We got to give back. Always think about giving back. Please don't forget to follow us on Twitter at the Sportscast1 and visit our website at thesportscast.net. Don't forget the Jersey Boys Sports Talk podcast on your Apple phone. Just go to the purple sign. Boom. Hit podcast, search for the Jersey Boys Sports Talk. You'll see the sign that's right behind me. Click on it, put notifications, leave us a review. It helps us out a lot. Join us next Thursday at what time, Byron?
Did you forget something? You said you want to rant.
What?
You forget? Bomber's going to be screaming at you. I'm just letting you know.
What I do?
Man, today is the Marine Corps birthday, man. What's wrong with you?
Oh, is it really? Oh, well, you should put that in notes because I follow you.
247 years, man. What's wrong with you?
247 years?
Yeah, I think it's 247. Yep, Marine Corps. I don't know, man. Mom's going to be mad as hell at you.
It's okay. I'm going to say happy birthday to all the Marines. Happy birthday to the Marine Corps. Thank you for the Marine Corps. They do tremendous, tremendous work for us. True soldiers. So happy birthday and thank you for your service.
And then tomorrow is Veterans Day.
Yeah, what Veterans Day is tomorrow? Isn't it like a Veterans Day, Labor Day?
It's falling on a Friday this year.
Oh, okay.
Come on, man. Your father's a veteran, man. Come on, man. Really?
Yeah, man? I get confused. I always think it's like on a Monday. Usually
it is on a Monday, but for some reason this year it's on a Friday. Come on, man.
Everybody's close. Well, happy Veterans Day. Thank you all for your service. We really appreciate it. And you know, hey, there's somebody in our building that served. He got injured, and I went to vote. Did you go vote?
Why wouldn't I not vote, man? Come on, Pennsylvania. John Fetterman.
And then, and he was serving at the poll. So that's a true person of service, you know. So appreciative of that. Well, Mr. Byron, thank you again. Good show. I'm sorry I missed the last couple shows.
We're going to get some guests on.
I was on assignment. We got to get some guests on here so they can fire me up. I need some juice for these shows. I want to hear some crazy logic. So we'll see what takes place. Well, let's get go Giants. Let's take
this time. Let's go to Texas.
7-2. Take our time. You know, I think they're doing a great job. It's happy to see him that way. That's it. Go Giants. All right, man. You have a good night, brother.
All right.
Peace.